chapter 16. And usually I have folks stand when I read the scripture, but I'll just have you remain seated if you don't mind. Luke chapter 16 and verse 19. There was a certain rich man. Now, by the way, this is a story that is this is real. God never, ever uses the term certain if it's a parable, nor a name. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple. If it is a parable, what's it teaching? There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments. And seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried. Now the Bible says, and he cried and said. What he said was not to cry. It's not the same. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus, they may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he's comforted, and thou art tormented. Beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. If you do not answer this question, you've missed the whole point. I'm going to ask the question, is there a place called hell? Is there? Father, help me. Please help me. I yield myself to you as best I know how. I ask you to flow through me. Captain of our team, you saw fit to take him home. I'll understand it. I'll understand it. But if somebody in this auditorium, and I fear that much of us lived off of Dr. Heil's vicariously, and pretty much felt like the job was getting done simply because he was doing it. But you've taken him. And here we are. We must face it. We must get up and do our part. Help me to help your people. Amen. Is there a place called hell? when it's mentioned 162 times in the New Testament, I wonder if God meant it. Is there a place called hell? And God said in Deuteronomy 32:22, a fire is kindled in mine anger and shall burn, listen to this, unto the lowest hell. What if God meant that? Job 11:8, when he said God is higher than heaven and deeper than hell. God just didn't have anything to put there. Psalm 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell. Does God really mean that? Proverbs 27:20, hell and destruction are never full. Does God mean that? Isaiah 5:14, hell hath enlarged herself. Is that true? Ezekiel 31:16. I cast him down to hell with them that descend into the pit. Is that really true? Amos 9:2. They dig into hell. That's not talking about several years ago they said they heard and they got close. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about the people in hell looking for a way out. Is Habakkuk 2:5 true? Who enlarged his desire as hell and is a death and cannot be satisfied? Is Matthew 10:28 really true? Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear them which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Is that true? 2 Peter 2:4, God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down into hell. Is it true? James 3:6 says the tongues are set on fire of hell. Revelation 20:15, whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast into a lake of fire. Is that true? Are there people screaming now in hell? R.A. Torrey said, I claim to be a scholar, and I believe the old-fashioned doctrine of hell. D.L. Moody said, if there is no hell, let's burn our Bibles. Henry Ward Beecher said this, and I quote, a future punishment is enough to make an earthquake of terror in a man's soul. White Talmage said, not having intellect enough of my own to fashion an eternity of my own, and to my own desires, I will have to accept what the Bible has to say about hell. Spurgeon said, dread for hell a saved man will never know. Billy Sunday said, you won't be in hell 5 seconds until you believe there's a hell. Sam Jones said this, every sinner carries his own brimstone. Hell is the prison house of despair. Here are some things that won't be there. No flowers will bloom on the banks of hell. No beauties of nature we love so well. No comforts of home, music, and song. No friendship of joy will be found in that throng. No children to brighten the long weary night. No love, no peace, not one ray of light. No blood-washed soul will face beaming bright. No loving smile in that region of night. No mercy, no pity, no pardon, no grace, no water. Oh God, what a terrible place. The pangs of the lost no human can tell. not one moment's ease. There's no rest in hell. Hell is a prison house of despair. Here are some things that will be there. Fire and brimstone are there, we know. For God in His Word has told us so. Memory, remorse, suffering and pain, weeping and wailing, but all in vain. Blasphemers and swearers, haters of God, Christ rejectors while here on earth trod. Murderers, gamblers, drunkards and liars all have their part in the lake of fire. The filthy, the vile, the cruel, the mean. What a horrible mob. In hell will be seen, yet more than humans on earth, yes, more than humans on earth can tell, are the torments and woes of an eternal hell. Ladies and gentlemen, somehow we've got to answer that question. Somehow, before we leave this place, we've got to answer that question. Is there a place called, do you really believe there's a place called hell? And that should settle once and for all why we preach and teach and give it everything we've got. We have this old-fashioned hell, fire, damnation attitude. Doing things right. Picking up paper on the parking lot. Keeping the rooms clean. Starting on time. Being where we're supposed to be. Doing what we're supposed to do. Somehow, this ought to answer the question, why we're fanatical. Why we're right-wing. Is there a hell? Is there a place called hell where people are burning right now? Is there a place called hell where people who have died are burning in torments and fire and be there forever and ever and ever? Luke 16 is not a parable. It's true. If that be true, then that rich man's screaming today. And that rich man's crying today. Is there a place called hell? Is there a place where they plead for just one drop of water? Is there a place where they beg for mercy day and night? Is there a place called hell where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched? Is it true, a place where people go when God says, depart from me, I never knew you, is this place called hell? Is there a place where people go after God says to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed and everlasting death, a fire prepared for the devil and his angels? Is that true? Is it true that the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God? Is there a place called hell where those who are not found written in the book of life shall be cast into forever and ever and ever? Is there really a place called hell? Is the rich man still weeping there after all these years? Is he still crying after all these years? Is he still wailing after all these years? Is he still begging for somebody, just anybody, bring me just one little drop of water? I wonder if he's still crying out for generations to come, the other brethren, that he doesn't want to go to that awful place called hell. Is he still begging for some of his loved ones not to go to hell and begging for somebody to go tell his loved ones that the place is really real and it's really true? Is he still falling? Is he still screaming? Is he still begging? Is he still pleading? Is he still hollering for one drop of water after 2,000 years? Is this man still in a place called hell? Ladies and gentlemen, we've got to decide once and for all before we leave here, is there or is there not a place called hell? Is there or is there not a place where lost people burn and 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 burn forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever? Everybody close your eyes. Can you picture this rich man screaming and falling and screaming and falling and screaming and falling and screaming and falling forever in the bottomless pit? Open your eyes. In God's dear name, why don't you take that which you see in your mind's eye and spiritually. And some of you fellows that get one saved a year, and some of you fellows get two saved, you thank God for the ones that are saved. But America is not listening to me. We're going to have to get with it. And you're going to be a leader of your congregation
And your congregation, you win two, they'll win one. You win five, they'll win two. You win ten, they'll win five. And I'm talking to leaders in this room right now. You go day after day and never see anybody saved. You go week after week and never see anybody saved. And yet there are people that are screaming in hell right now that we let slip through our fingers because we become lackadaisical about it. In God's dear name, there is a hell. Is there a place called hell? Then we ought to get with it and win souls and show up for soul winning night and make sure that we're in our place and keeping people out of hell personally. We want everybody else to do it for us, but the truth is they're not in hell. They shouldn't do it. You ought to do it first, and they'll do it because they want to help you. There is no place called hell. Let's just quit and go home. But if there's a place called hell, let's all get into the battle for souls. Is it true that you have a loved one that died without Christ and is burning in hell right now? Is it true that you've got a neighbor that died without Christ and burning in hell right now? Is it true? Don't push it off. Don't flippantly put it aside and say it didn't happen. It did happen. And somewhere here you ought to say, my next neighbor's not going to go to hell. My other loved one's not going to go to hell. But quit putting it out of your mind. I carry a card around that Dr. Stoddard put out one time about his pastor's conference up there, and it had a flame on it. And I carry that card, and I keep that card. And before I go sewing, I look at that card, and I think about the fact that there are flames. I think about the fact that there's a hell. Then I read about hell in the Bible. Why? Because I don't want to forget that I've let people slip through my fingers. I don't want to forget that people, their loved ones, are burning in hell. And somewhere in here, we have just flippantly going about our business, and we put together forms, and we put together everything in the world, and we organize our Sunday schools. For what? For what? We act like there's no hell in one way, and yet another way we say there's a hell, and there's an inconsistency. It's about time you started believing there's a hell. Is it true there's a hell? And why don't we forget our petty gripes? Why don't we quit having our pity parties? Why don't we quit our petty grievances? Why don't we quit our petty prejudices and quit our petty disagreements? Hey, if there is a place called hell, then let's all rise up like a mighty army and go out and get somebody saved. Let's rise up like a mighty arm. Forget you're the reverend. Forget you got a doctor's degree. Forget you're a pastor of a big church or a small church, well-known church, unknown church. Doesn't matter. Forget that you're a missionary. Forget you're an evangelist. And just remember you're somebody saved by the grace of God, and somebody kept you out of hell. You're not going to burn in hell, and don't go find somebody else that's going to hell. Why don't you get rid of your phylacteries and your pharisaical attitude and get somebody saved? And some guy said, but Reverend, we don't save anybody. Well, then just introduce somebody to Jesus. Is there a place called hell? If men are burning and men are crying and men are begging for mercy and men are wailing and men are gnashing on each other and screaming in pain and falling in a bottomless pit, an unbelievable pit of fire, then why in God's name can't we, who are alive and able to tell people, why don't we get with it and tell them how to be saved? Is there a place called hell? The guy said, preacher, I'm a professor, and I'm just not sure if there's a place called hell. In New Jersey, a guy said to me, he said, I teach Greek and Hebrew, and he said, I'm just not really sure there's a hell. Well, I said, if you're that smart, you really ought to know there's a hell. Because the Bible says so. I said, the Bible says so. And if anybody ought to be leading us, there ought to be somebody who knows, says they know the Bible more than we do. Hey, I don't care if you know Greek or Hebrew or some little Italian down the street. It doesn't bother me any. The truth of the matter is, you better get out there and go keep. Why don't you take that diploma of yours, throw it in the drawer? You don't have a right to put it up there until you get somebody saved down that aisle in that tank. You are deceiving people when they walk in your office and see that diploma from a Bible college while you let people go to hell. Is there a place called hell, deacon? Is there a place called hell, Bible teacher? Is there a place called hell, PhD possessor? Is there a place called hell, Sunday school teacher? Is there a place called hell, secretary? Is there a place called hell, staff member? Is there a place called hell, pastor? Is there a place called hell, organist? Is there a place called hell, pianist? I want to know. I want to know. Do you know there's a hell? I want to know. Do you know there's a hell? I want to know. I'll tell you why some of you missionaries are flopping on the field, because you forgot there's a hell. Somebody say amen to me. You forgot there's a hell. Bob Hughes didn't forget there was a hell. And listen, when you heard his voice for about 10 seconds, tears came to your eyes, and you said, there's a man that believes there's a hell. There's a man. There's something happening in that man. That man's not a phony. That man's not a fake. But you listen to me. When your people hear you preach, I wonder what they think for about 2 seconds. When you get up and preach, hey, let's forget this. You're too artificial. You're too professional. There is a hell. Get it settled in your mind. There's a hell. Is there a place called hell, soloist? Is there a place called hell, choir member? Is there a place called hell, bubblegum popping teenager? Is there a place called hell, retired person? Is there a place called hell, charter member? You say, Philadelphia, walked up to me and she said, you know, I hear you preach, but I want you to know I'm not a Baptist, I'm a Methodist. Well, there just happens to be a hell, no matter whether you're a Methodist or a Baptist or a Catholic, that doesn't much matter. That didn't change hell any. I don't give a flip what Billy Graham told Time Magazine. He may not know there's fire in hell, but I tell you, God knows there's fire in hell, and God told us there was fire in hell, and if he'd have never left John Rice and the sword of the Lord and run with a bad crowd, he'd still believe in fire in hell. Is there a hell, Mr. Methodist? Is there a hell, Mr. Lutheran? Is there a hell, Mr. Episcopalian? Is there a hell, Mr. Denominational Baptist? I don't agree with the preacher on everything. Okay, well, just agree that there's a hell. Let's just agree there's a hell. Let's quit talking about what we don't like and not agree with, and let's start talking about what God says is true. There is a hell. At a church a few weeks ago, the pastor called me and said, we're having a church split over the color of the new usher's coats. Look, I said, fly me in. I'll kill a whole bunch of them. There ain't no sense in that. I said no sense in that. Now, I'm talking to some laymen in this congregation. This morning, you listen to me. Some of you are fussing at your preacher, and maybe not outwardly, but in your mind about some things you disagree with. But you listen to me. You better settle on the fact that there is a hell and get bit by it and go win souls and keep people out of hell. And you'd be surprised how quick all those things will fade away. Modernistic Southern Baptists don't know whether hell exists or not, but that doesn't change hell's temperature 1 degree. God wasn't impressed when Billy Graham said he didn't believe there was a hell. Didn't bother God a bit. No, that doesn't change the screams, the weeping, the wailing, the gnashing, the falling in the pitch dark of hell. Is there a place called hell? Then how can you flippantly let your loved ones die and go there and burn forever and ever? You're a dirty crook. The preacher, it pricks my refinement, one man said, to think there's a place called hell. Well, then just get rid of your refinement. Is there a place called hell? Is it true? Listen to me, then preach it. Is it true? Then act like it. Is it true? Then quit sitting, you preachers. I'll line the whole bunch out in front of the church and slap every one of you. The problem with America is you dumb preachers. The problem with your church is not the offerings are down. Oh, the preacher's down. The attendance is down. Oh, the preacher's down. But there's not much loyalty in my church. No, you ain't got much loyalty to Christ. Hey, wake up. I'm talking to you. About time some of you preachers started believing there's a hell. It's about time you started walking around everybody you saw, realize these people are going to spend eternity in heaven or hell. Get with it. Come on. There is a hell. Then let's preach it. If there's a hell, let's act like it. If there's a hell, let's preach it. Is it true that the one who carried you in her body and labored in the jaws of death to bring you to life and at whose breast you found sustenance is lost? If that be true, how can you go to bed at night and not even think about it? My mama's 90. Going to be 90 here in May. I love my mama. If I thought my mama was going to burn in hell, I tell you right now, I'd quit everything I was doing. And I'd be on her front doorstep, right, knocking on that door, and walking in and getting on my knees and say, Mama! Mama! Mama, there's a hell! Mama, I love you. I don't want you to go to hell. If I thought that my dad was lost and on his way to hell, I'd go to my daddy and I'd say, Oh, Daddy! There's a hell! Oh, Daddy, don't go to hell! Somewhere in here we've lost it. Somewhere in here we become so professional, so rote, so routine, and so on. You gotta do this and do this here and do this here. We forgot why we're doing this and why we're doing that. Why are we breaking up the classes into smaller groups and why? Well, this is not a social experiment. This is not something we're doing to get the kids off of drugs. This is not something we're trying to do to help the ghetto kids. We're not trying to get the people out of the slums. We're trying to keep people out of hell. Don't you understand? We're not trying to make businessmen out of our people we get saved. We're not trying to get the guys off the street, get them married, cleaned up so they're good citizens. Listen, we are in trouble. We are in trouble. I'll tell you why. Because we don't believe there's a hell. How can you go to McDonald's at night after church and just flippantly laugh and cut up with everybody when you got a loved one that's going to hell? How can you sleep at night? Is there a hell? If people by the multitudes are plunging toward a Christless, godless, burning hell, then it seems to me that nobody should be called a fanatic who tries to get them saved. How dare you in your mind begin to even think about the fact that your preacher is some right-wing nut because he happens to believe in a hell? That doesn't make him a nut. Listen, that makes him a realist. He's a realist. He knows there's a hell. You're the one living in fairyland. You're the one living in some fantasy world. You're the one living out there ignoring the fact that there is a place where people are burning and screaming prayer. You are the fella that's almost like on dope. You're kind of numbing yourself to the fact that there's a hell. Listen to me well. That rich man is still screaming. That loved one of yours that's in hell is still screaming. And we better sober up and we better wake up. And those of you who run to Hiles Anderson to hire a soul winner, you run to Texas Baptist, hire a soul winner, and you're running 20, you want somebody to build it for you. Get off your duff, you lazy, no good bum, and build something yourself. Listen, you get something going, and you got it going, you'll attract somebody who'll help you keep it going. Is there a hell? Is it true that the only man you've ever called legitimately daddy is unsaved? Is it true that your daddy's only one breath from the torments of hell? Is it true that the one you called mama is only one breath from eternal hell? Is there a place called hell? Is the screaming real? Is it true that the ones who join you in bringing life into this world, with whom you become heirs of the grace of God, is it true that he or she is unsaved? Is it true that you have a brother whom you were raised with that's lost? A brother you used to play games with as a little boy? You loved him, or you fought with him, but you loved him. A sister, same house, same mom and dad, but lost. Do those who work beside you, day in and day out, are they lost? Are they going to die and go to hell and spend an eternity? Quit staring out into space. Look at me and listen to me. There is a hell. And until the people I'm talking to begin to believe there's a hell, you're not going to do anything about it. And you're going to go through this religious act for the rest of your life. You're going to wake up at 70 and 75 and 80 years of age with no opportunity to keep anybody out of hell. And when eternity begins to get so close to you, and reality begins to hit you, you're going to realize those times that you wasted, that you didn't do your job of keeping people out of hell. You're going to have to answer it before you leave. Is there or is there not a place called hell? Is it true? You pull out of your driveway in the morning. Your neighbor waves at you. You wave at your neighbor. Is it true that when you maybe if you get a chance to come home for lunch, he pulls in, you wave? Is it true that maybe when you come back about 5 o'clock, you pull in and you wave? Is it true that maybe he comes over one day and says, you know, my lawnmower's broke. I got to cut my grass. If I borrow you, sure, you borrow my lawnmower. And you laugh and talk about sports. And you wave. Is it true that he's lost? You'll come home one day and pull in. You'll see an ambulance over there. It'll be too late. Those who live beside you, whom you wave at in the morning and wave at night, is it true that they're going to hell? Those to whom you preach, are they dying? Are they going to a place called hell? Or do you just think everybody's just going to live forever? Is there a place called hell? The preacher, I don't like that kind of preaching. Well, neither does the devil, so I guess you classified yourself. If there's a place called hell, then let's quit playing church. Listen to me. Listen to me. If there is a place called hell, then quit playing church. Quit being a politician. Quit trying to figure out what they like, and you figure out what he likes. Obey him, and somebody will follow you. Is there a place called hell? Then let's quit playing patty cake. There's a place called hell, let's quit playing religion. If there's a place called hell, let's quit calling Bob Gray a nut. If there's a place called hell, let's quit calling Carl Hatch crude. If there's a place called hell, then let's quit looking on Jack Hiles like he was some fanatic or something, and John Rice and some fanatic because of pushing sowing. Listen to me, you're the one. You're still a nut. You're just not screwed on the right boat. We're nuts, but we happen to be screwed on the right boat. I'm saying, on my way to heaven, I'm not going to hell, and I don't want nobody else to go to hell. Is there a place called hell? Is it true? Then run the buses. Is it true? Then tithe. Is it true? Then have a give it all Sunday. If it's true, then show up for soul winning. Is it true? Get a bus route. Is it true? Get a Sunday school class. Is it true? Get your CDL license. Is it true? Help your preacher keep some people out of hell. Is it true that there's a place called hell? Then show up for Saturday morning. If there's a place called hell, show up for Thursday night or Tuesday night, whenever you're soul winning. Show up on Sunday morning. Show up on Sunday night. Quit taking your vacation and missing a weekend in your Sunday school class. Goes untaught, your soul winning guns goes undone. I'm saying somewhere in here, we got to ask the question, is there or is there not a place called hell? If there is, then shut down the formalistic, ritualistic church service and let's get back to reaching sinners. If there is no place called hell, then I'm going to the house. If there is no place called hell, then let's eat, drink, and be merry. If there's no place called hell, then let's call the missionaries home. It's silly for Rick Martins to leave their families and go to a foreign country and be threatened by communists and a home bombed and so on. If there is no place called hell, it's silly. It's silly for the Ashcrafts to go to Mexico and bury their mama and bury their daddy on a foreign soil and be threatened by local communists. It's a silly thing to put him in harm's way if there is no place called hell. It's silly for Kevin Wynn to be in Mexico City, have the government come down, bulldoze his home. He can't have anything, scared to death. They're going to do the same thing to a brand new church building that's been built. It's a shame. It's silly to put that man in that type of a situation. If there is no place called hell, somebody help me. It's silly raising millions of missions money for missions if there is no hell. If there's no place called hell, let's stop the buses from rolling. If there is no place called hell, let's put a planter box out and put it in a baptistry. If there's no place called hell, let's close the church doors and call the deacons what we've always wanted to call them. there's no place called hell, let's quit the ministry, make money, and live it up. If there's no place called hell, I've got my last boarding pass for an airplane. If there's no place called hell, I spent my last holiday in a distant state trying to stir up preachers and churches for souling. If there's no place called hell, I've checked into my last motel room. If there's no place called hell, I spent my last night away from my wife who's ill. If there is no place called hell, I spent my last night in prayer begging for God's power. If there is no place called hell, then I'm staying home. I'm going to play Paul, and I'm going to be the little old nice reverend. But there is a place called hell. I've got to get on a plane. I've got to go somewhere. I've got to keep some people out of hell. If there is a hell, then let's plead for God's power. If there is a place called hell, then we ought to show up for soul winning night. If there's a place called hell, we ought to win our neighbors. If there's a place called hell, we ought to win our daddies. If there's a place called hell, we ought to win our mamas. If there's a place called hell, we ought to win our co-workers. If there's a place called hell, we ought to roll the buses. If there's a place called hell, then get the soul winners out. Put the pressure on your people. Take it out. Keep somebody out of hell. The reason you don't know it, because you yourself don't believe there's a hell. If you honestly believed there was a hell, you'd be in there pushing, you'd be in there shoving, you'd be in there fighting for everything that you could fight to get as many people out as you could. If you really believed there was a hell, is there? I want to know. Do you believe there's a hell? I want to know. Ladies and gentlemen, somewhere down deep inside, you preachers are going to have to answer that question. Do I on the inside believe there's a place where people are falling and burning forever? Somebody's got to answer that question. If you preachers don't answer it, your layman won't answer it. Somebody, listen, you know, it's a Thursday night. Here's what you say. Y'all pray for me because I've got a very important counseling appointment tonight. I'd love to go with you, but I'll be praying for you while you go. Just pray for me. I'm carrying a heavy burden. You liar. You're a liar. Don't get mad at me. You're a liar. You don't have a serious counseling appointment. Now, we've had two accidents, I think, these years ago on Thursday night, and we've had to go to the hospital, but I led people to Christ there, but that's only two times in 29 years. How come you have one every other week? You'd be nice if your people had a real man. How about this one? Thursday night, layman says, why does the preacher always drive off alone? Why does he ever take anybody with him? I'll tell you why. Because you might have to get somebody saved. You see, these laymen are so naive. They are so naive that they really believe that you win souls. These laymen are so naive, they really believe that you're going to pick somebody up Sunday morning and bring them to church and walk them down. You see, they're so naive, they believe that. Would it be nice if you gave them some reason to believe that? Come on, somebody talk to me now. Don't make me come back there. Don't make me come back there. Don't make me come back there and ask to look at your New Testament. Don't you make me come back here and get your record secretary's number and let me call her and find out how many got baptized last year that belong to you. Don't make me come back here. Don't you make me come back here. Oh, don't get mad at me. You're the one who said you're full time. Full time what? Full time bull? I want to know. The problem is you really do not believe that people are burning and screaming and burning and screaming and burning and how come Bob Hughes can do it and you can't? I want to know. I want to know. I'll tell you why. Because there's something in his voice that says, I know there's a hell. I know people are burning in hell. I know it's a reality. I've been raised to the heavenlies. I've walked with God. I know there's a hell. And you could tell it in his voice. You could tell it. You could tell it. You could tell it. Hiles Anderson College, he preached when he had cancer. Tears flowing down his face. Not much strength and able to get it out. But he got it out. And he took his shoes and threw it out to the congregation and said, I'm dying, I'm a dead man. Who'll fill it? took his shoes and then hoofed it. And even up until the day he died, the last time I heard him preach, there was a shrill in that voice. There was something that was there that was not found in the other missionaries that came our way. There was something different there. And I'll tell you what it was. It's because he got a glimpse of a place where people are burning forever and ever and ever and ever. And he couldn't help it. It came out of his voice. It came out of his life. Why is it that I can go to a church and they run 40 and they raise $100,000 for missions? I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. How is it? Because those dear saints, they don't want nobody to go to hell. And the preacher said, if we don't give money, they're going to go to hell. And those people reach in their pocket and they sign those cards and they turn them in. Oh, preacher, don't let those people go to hell. Preacher, send those missionaries. Don't let those people go to hell. And yet I learned something from that. I said, dear God, those laymen believe there's more of a hell than the preachers do. So I started coming back to my pulpit and I took that same principle and I said, if you don't go soul winning tomorrow night, you don't love God. And if you don't go soul winning tomorrow night, you're not a good Christian, because there are people dying and going to hell. Now, do you know what happened when I did that? Pulled that pin through that baby out there. 500 left me. Had 169 left. Well, wait a minute. The 500 left are like queers. They can't reproduce. Anybody listening to me? They're like queers. They couldn't reproduce. But the ones who stayed behind were the ones that made it work anyway. I didn't have much money, had a few people, but had a lot of heart. And the difference between the crowd that left, and by the way, you go on the Junction Road right now, you drive down that road, there's a church building they built over there for cash. That church went defunct and went under. Now a National Council of Churches church owns that building over there, and apostasy is being taught. A false teaching is coming out of that building by the people who left here, and they're all scattered out all over the place. Why? They were like queers. They couldn't reproduce. They could gripe a lot, but they couldn't reproduce. But oh, there was 169 people that were left who gave our $2,000 offering when we needed $8,000. Who said we believe there's a hell? That preacher believes there's a hell. We believe there's a hell. We'll do it. 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 And from that handful of people rose the great Longview Baptist Temple, baptized 10,000 5 years ago. Why? Because there's a group of people who said we're not many in number and we don't have the money, but we will. We will. We will. Why? Because we believe there's a hell. Do you? It's kind of hard to get them to believe it when you don't believe it. You get two preachers preaching the same subject. One preaches on prayer. You sit on the edge of your seat, can't wait to get out of there and go find a prayer closet. Another fellow gets up, preaches the same sermon, same outline, and everybody sleeps. What's the difference? I'll tell you the difference, because the preacher is actually praying. God forbid that that ever happened. But the preacher is actually doing what he's preaching, because the Holy Ghost of God's not going to bear witness of a lie. One fellow gets up and preaches on soul winning. Everybody gets excited, runs and buys a New Testament. Said, when are we going? Another fellow gets up and preaches the same outline and they sleep through it, gives an invitation, nothing happens. What's the difference? One guy says, this is really real. This is really real. This is real. There is a hell and I've got to keep them out of hell. And those people respond. And I say to you, you've got to answer the question, is there a hell? Is there a hell? But if there is a hell, then we ought to get the preacher boys out. Ought to get the soul winners out. Ought to get the staff out. Wouldn't that be nice? Ought to get the preacher out. Wouldn't that be even better? Ought to get the charter member out. Hey, I tell you what let's do. Let's put some water in the baptistry. If we believe there's a hell. Then let's quit trading the prayer closet for the voting booth. And let's quit turning the bus captains into precinct captains. And let's quit trading disgruntled church members among our churches. And let's keep our concern about the murder of the unborn, but be more concerned about the rebirth of the born. If there's a place called hell, let's keep our burden for the right to life, but get a bigger burden for the right to eternal life. If there's a place called hell, let's get back to hell fire, hell raising, hell spitting, hell slobbering, hell damnation, hell brimstone, hell bent for leather preaching. The preachers, I said, if I preach like that, the deacons will fire me. If you don't preach like that, they ought to fire you. If there's a place called hell, let's talk about Jesus, the King of Kings. Is He the Lord of Lords, supreme throughout eternity? The great I Am, the way, the truth, and life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. If there's a place called hell, then let's keep the standards high. If there's a place called hell, then let's keep preaching the King James Bible. If there's a place called hell, then let's go tell somebody. Soul winners will sober more alcoholics than AA. Soul winners will clean up more slums than the government will. Soul winners will feed more bodies than the welfare will. Soul winners will save America quicker than the politicians will. Soul winning will do more for the children than Head Start will. Is there a place, or is there a place not called hell? Then let's trade your record attendance for record baptisms. Let's trade your record offerings for record salvation decisions. Then let's do this. Let's get back to talking about Jesus more than we do politics. Let's get back to talking about the things of God. Baptisms more than budgets. Church itself more than the school. Talk about more about Sunday school than the day school. Let's talk more about saving souls than basketball goals. Let's talk about who lives in the Father's house instead of who lives in the White House. Is there a place called hell? I said, Pete, I'm a Methodist. Well, try this one on. Sam Jones was. Try this one on. Bob Jones Sr. was. But I'm Christian. Well, try this one on. Sunday was. I'm Congregationalist. Well, so was D.L. Moody. What's your problem? Billy Sunday said, call it Gehenna, Hades, whatever you want to call it. It's all hell to me. Is there a place called hell? Is there a place called hell? I led my wife to be to Christ. I was thrilled. She went home, told her daddy. She's Catholic. Her daddy took a belt and beat her with the belt buckle. About midnight, she called my house. My mom answered the phone and said, it's Leanne, she's crying. I went to the phone and I went, and she said, I came home and told Daddy I got saved. I thought he'd be happy. But he got mad. And he beat me with a belt buckle. That's all I heard. I hung the phone up. I asked permission to use the big old dump truck we had. Took that 51 Chevy dump truck. And I drove 4 miles. And the more I drove, the madder I got. I wanted to kill him. I drove up. She was on the front porch, lying on her stomach, crying. I didn't know how bad it was or how bad it wasn't. I walked up, and her blouse was blood down her blouse. I grabbed the blouse and pulled like that, and I couldn't believe it. I started for the door. I know it's not right. I was so angry. I honestly wanted to kill him. She began to cry, and she said something that I didn't even think about. She said, he does not understand. She hadn't been saved 5 hours. She was more of a Christian than I was. I said, I'm so sorry. She said, no, don't be. Just pray that Daddy gets saved. I went home. Boy, it just, won't you ever get better? Won't you ever get it in there? Terrible. I just feel the hatred. Couldn't stand it. Later on, my wife and I, after college, we got married and had children. And she'd say,
Why don't we go over and see Daddy? I never said nothing to grandkids. I never said nothing to my wife. But there was something inside of me. I couldn't stand it. One night in church, the preacher said, "How many of all your family members are saved?" Boy, I shot my hand up. I was so proud. I got in the car. My wife was crying. I said, "What's the matter?" She said, "I wished I could have raised my hand." I said, "Well, I'll go see your daddy tomorrow night." Well, I went over to the house and sat down. We began to talk. You understand, don't you? Somehow I just couldn't get around to it. Came home. My wife was standing at the front door. I got out of the car and she said, "Did he get saved?" I said, "No, no." She said, "Well, will you go back and see him?" "Yeah." "No, I'll do that." "Bitterness will kill you. Eat you alive." Next week I went over and talked about everything, football and everything. Didn't get around to it. You know how it goes. Time, weeks, and months, and kids, and jobs, and bills, and so on. I'm sitting in my office, and the phone rings. I pick it up. It's my wife. She's crying. I said, "What's the matter? Kids okay?" She says, "Daddy, he's dying. They say he's dying. They're rushing him by ambulance to Ann Arbor. You got to come home now." I jumped in my car and drove down Highway 43 and sped home and got home, picked her up, went over to the parents' house, and her mother was crying, and I said, "What happened?" She said, "Well, no, he just fell out and taken to Ann Arbor, but the doctor says it's serious." So we jumped in the car, drove to Ann Arbor, went up to the intensive care, walked in. Did he hit me? He's laying on an oxygen tent diet. I'm going to heaven. My wife's going to heaven. And he hit me. I think I really wanted him to go to hell. And oh, it just killed me. I thought about, what's the matter with you? So I went to the doctor and the doctor said, he's dying, he'll not make it. He was a short man, bald-headed man, and very thin. But when I looked in the tent, his stomach, I couldn't believe how huge it was. It was huge. And he was... I couldn't believe it. So I said to myself, I got to do something. And I said, "Doctor, can I talk to him?" He said, I don't know if he can hear you. I said, "I got to talk to him." I got underneath that oxygen tent. He was breathing so deep. And I grabbed his hand and I said, "Ray, you got to hear me. Ray," I said, "I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Please listen to me." I took out a little track. I didn't know how to lead anybody to Christ. I read that verse and I said, "Do you understand what I'm saying?" He squeezed my hand. And I got all the way down to Romans 10:13 and I read it and I said, "Would you squeeze my hand?" He didn't. I prayed and asked him to pray. No squeezing of the hand. He died. I fainted. And the next thing I remember, smelling the sauce, and I'm sitting in a chair. They made me go lay down in the bed, and I woke up, and I said, "Did he die?" And my wife just fell out. She said, "No, honey, he died. Daddy's dead." That's haunted me. I can't get away from it. I dream about it. I dream about
great white throne judgment. I dream about being up in the stand as a spectator, and all of a sudden I'm there. And I say to the fellow next to me, "What's happening?" He says, "This is the great white throne judgment." And I look out and I see a lake of fire. And I see my father-in-law coming out. And I see him standing before God. And I see him slapping at the flames. "What? Oh, thank you. Taking me out. I couldn't take much more. What? What do you mean my name's not in there? It's got to be in there. What do you mean? No. It's got to be in there. No, listen, I've not been bad. No, I asked my son-in-law. Ask him. I never mistreated him. What do you mean born again? He never told me. He's a Baptist. He went to church. No, if it'd been true, he'd have told me. Son, is it true? And I look and I see the angels taking my father-in-law. And I see him screaming at me as they throw him in this lake of fire. And he's saying to me, "Son, is it true? Is it true?" And I see him falling in that lake of fire, screaming. It haunts me. This haunts me. There's nothing I can do. There's something I can do. I can keep somebody else's daddy out of hell. When we stand before God and you look at me, you're going to see me weeping. And you're going to see blood dripping all over my hands. I won't be able to get rid of it. It'll be the blood of my dear wife's dad. I can't do anything about that. But I can do it about somebody else's dad. That's why every adult man I look at him like he's somebody's daddy. Let me ask you a question. Who slipped through your fingers? Is there a place called hell? You don't believe it? Go back to the factory. If you don't believe it, you're going back to what you were doing. Father, help us. Oh, God. I don't know how my wife can look me in the face.